Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, appreciate you tuning in and hanging on for the second hour of tonight's show. I kind of jumped the gun. I usually do something about half the time. Sam has to reel me in from jumping out of the gun. But people, I hope you liked the first hour of the show. We talked about the horrific murders. We had the anniversary, you know, the 7th of January was the anniversary of the horrible Knoxville murders, or Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom. We went over that in gory graphic detail, but stuff like that needs to be talked about, and you need to hear the gory graphic detail, because it happens all the time. But right now we're shifting gears. We're going to a new guest. He's one of my favorite guests. He's Ike Baker. He's from the League of the South. As you people who listen to this show, if you know, you should know by now. If you don't, it's okay, because God, I forget stuff myself. But the first Saturday of every month in the second hour is dedicated to the League of the South. And as you might know, you probably know, I'm a League of the Souther myself. So is Matt Goodwin. He's not in the studio tonight, but Matt's a League of the Souther. We bleed League of the South blood. So we have Ike on. He's going to fill us in on all news of the league. And we've got some other topics we're going to talk about. By the way, matter of fact, instead of me giving Ike his bio, I'm going to go to Ike right now, and I'm going to have him to give a bio, because it's a really an impressive bio. And I love the guy as a brother. He's a brother to mine, a little bit younger than me. But how you doing tonight, Ike?
I'm doing well, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good for an old geezer, man. I'm still training and running for marathons like an old geezer, man. I'm kind of slow, but I'm still getting it done. Got a little hip pointer from a...
I'm one of the great beards in the weight room 6 days a week, so I get it. You know, we're just trying to hold Father Time at bay, aren't we?
We're trying to do as best we can. You know what, Ike, I'm really proud of you. I was going to give a brief bio, but I'm going to let you give the bio, because I don't want to leave anything out. Tell the audience, tell them a little bit about yourself.
All right. I live in the Appalachians, where I was born, East Kentucky. Grew up in South Florida. My father's union went on strike 2 years in a row. The employment situation in this part of the country has driven a lot of native Appalachians out. Instead of going north to the factories, we went south. I grew up in South Florida. When I graduated high school, I joined the Marine Corps. Got to see a good deal of the world and do things some I look back on fondly, some I look back on very glad it's over. Came back to the Appalachians about 15 years ago, bought a piece of family land, and got involved with the League of the South several years ago, and fine organization, great leadership. I was really privileged to be a part of it. I accepted a state staff job when I first joined. They put me right to work. And after Charlottesville, Dr. Hill and Chief of Staff Tubbs appointed me Chief of Operations of the League, and it's been a fantastic conduit to serve our people. It's a privilege to do it. We've got some fine individuals, and I'm glad to count you and Matt and others as brothers in the league. It's my family.
Well, I tell you what, it's an honor to be in a brotherhood with you, my brother Ike. You know, Lee Cochran's in the studio with us tonight. He's not in the League of the South, but I tell you what, he's been with me through a lot of battles, thick and thin. He supported me financially, physically, and we're just brothers at heart. But I tell you what, there's nothing like having a brotherhood like we have that's willing to stand toe-to-toe, shoulder-to-shoulder. You know, I know we talk about Charlottesville a lot, but if anybody was ever going to run, going to turn tail and run like a yellow dog, they would have most certainly done it in Charlottesville. And I tell you what, I saw and met some of my league brothers there in Charlottesville. It was my first assignment as a field reporter for Liberty News Radio. Sam sent me up there, and we went up there. I covered the whole thing. We were in the compound with you and all the guys from the league. And I was there right there in the thick of it. And I saw, I had privy to seeing all of our league brothers. And I tell you what, not one guy flinched, not one guy ran. They were there come hell or high water. They were going to serve or die, you know. And
absolutely.
That's the kind of people they we have in the league. And I know I'm not. I know I'm preaching to the preacher because you're one of. And matter of fact, Ike, I'm going to brag on him a little bit. Now we have a lot of old military guys and officers, you know, in the league. But I think Ike is the only guy in the general staff, I'd call it, in the league that actually had led men in combat. You know, is that true, Ike?
I don't know for sure if there are others. We have other military men in the league. We have a former Special Forces trooper high in the leadership of the league. We've got Army officers, Air Force officers. We all just serve our people how best we can, bring what we can bring to the table. I have tried to bring everything from my past experiences in my life to the table, and I'll leave that to others to determine whether we've been successful in doing that. But you're right about Charlottesville. Every league man and woman, a lot of our medics were females that day. Every league man and woman, young or old, big or small, did their duty that day. Nobody cut and ran. When the state police line mobilized that riot line and marched toward us banging on their shields with their 36-inch riot batons, we left the park. And basically allowed the state police to drive us directly into Antifa, fought our way through. Unfortunately, a plan rarely survives first contact with the enemy. And when we were driven out of the park, I don't know the specific proportions, but a good portion of us went to the right and headed for McIntyre Park. A good portion of us went to the left and headed back to the parking garage. We were split up, and we have individuals who stayed behind enemy lines until the end of the day, looking for stragglers, collecting stragglers, making sure we left no one behind. And we did our best to leave no one behind. So, yes, we look back on Charlottesville. We do talk about Charlottesville a great deal. At the time, I believe it was really only meant to be a stepping stone to other things that we would do of that type, because the unity was very, very high across the cause of white nationalism. We are specifically Southern Nationalists. That's the nature of our organization. It's in our name. But the formation that marched up Market Street, which you were a part of, you saw many flags, many uniforms. There were at least four major organizations who took part in that formation, as well as several others not of great numbers. But just as an example, the Confederate Hammerskins took part with us, and I've come to know one of their leaders very, very well. He's dropped his patch and went and started another organization, which is the nature of the thing sometimes. An older man like us, if I may say that, in the weight room 6 days a week, and I saw him physically pick up these soy boy Antifas. He physically picked them up and threw them back into the crowd, which was, I'll never forget that. Big man, a man who's lifted weights probably for 30 or 40 years, seriously lifted. And he encountered these boys with upper arms the circumference of my wrist, and it was a beautiful thing to see.
Oh man, that is great. I had a few stories to tell myself. Well, Ike, I'm sure you can probably hear the music, so I can't believe we're coming to the first break already. But we're going to go right back. We're going to get into the thick of it, brothers. Y'all, hang on. You're listening to Blood River Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Okay, people, we're right back after that break. I was hoping and praying I didn't cut in too soon, as I'll do sometimes. I know the music doesn't change up that much. The commercials don't. I get all out of kilter every now and then. Heck, I'm almost 73 years old. But anyway, we're getting ready to go back to Ike Baker, who is in with the League of the South. As we explained earlier, the first Saturday of every month. The second hour is going to be dedicated to the League of the South. So all of our League of the South brothers that listen, all the guys who would like to be League of the South brothers or sisters, this will be your chance to call in and ask Ike any questions, like how do you join up, what can you do, how can you send donations to the League of the South, et cetera, et cetera. You're always willing to call. You're always welcome to call in. We love callers. But, Ike, going back to you, as will be, a lot of times we fly by the seat of our pants, on this live news, we're live radio. I was talking to Sam on the break, and, you and I were going to talk about this thing going over there and the general yep. being assassinated in Iraq. But, Sam was just talking about he says, another thing I want to talk to you about tonight, I hope I'm not getting too out of kilter, is this the Virginia Citizens Defense League and other organizations in Virginia. I think Lee was telling me something like 90% of all the counties in the state of Virginia have passed First Amendment safe zones where, they say that the governor and the National Guard be damned. They can come. The National Guard can come house to the house if they want to at their own peril, but they are not giving up their ARs. They're not giving up their high-capacity 9mm. They're not giving up Jack. And they're going to have a big demonstration in Richmond, Virginia, on the 20th of this month. And I would love to be there. I was just talking to Sam. It cost a fortune. That's about to get there. We're about 1,700 miles round trip. Right. Maybe further than that. That's a hell of a long way from Memphis, Tennessee. But we would love to go there in a broadcast. But anyway, tonight, I'm just letting the audience know we're supposed to talk about what went on in Iraq, that assassination.
Okay. All right.
The implications that's going to happen. But I'd like to also talk about that thing that's going on in Virginia, too. I don't know how many. I'm probably ambushing you with that. I don't know if you.
No, that's how quite, much right. you know. That's actually been something I've been paying some attention to. I'll tackle the assassination first, if you don't mind.
Great.
This follows a policy that's been established by the government of the United States now for probably for around 20 years during these endless wars that have been going on since October of 2001, which is when we very first sent troops into Afghanistan. It's targeted decapitation. And this is something that we should sit up and take notice of in this country as white nationalists, because this targeted decapitation is meant to remove the leadership of insurgent organizations, guerrilla organizations. Now, we are neither of those, all right? We're a legitimate movement. However, we are on the wrong side of the empire. Witness, if you will, the anarcho-tyranny that's been exerted against us since Charlottesville. We have men going to prison for varying from a couple of years to 480 years. For actions that took place in Charlottesville, most of which were really just perfectly legal self-defense. We've got that U.S. attorney, Thomas Cullen. He works for Trump's Justice Department, and he's putting our people in prison. Look at Augustus Invictus, arrested in Florida just a few days ago, ostensibly on armed kidnapping charges. Now, in regard to other matters entirely, I happen to have been in contact with Augustus Invictus during that period in the first 2 weeks of December, and he let me know that he was not able to come to a league function, the one that you were invited to also. Well, you're always invited. You're a league member. He's not. But because he would be getting his if I understood it, either his girlfriend's children or his wife's children from South Carolina moved to Florida. Does anyone truly imagine a man as intelligent as Augustus Invictus kidnap these children at gunpoint to take them to Florida? He's a lawyer, for crying out loud. He understands that the deep state will come after him hard and fast. Now, whether this is trumped up or whether this is just a false accusation by parties in South Carolina, I have no way of knowing. But the state, the deep state, does from time to time decapitate our organizations. Take Matt Hale, former leader of the Church of the Creator. Here again, a very, very intelligent young man. Now, does anyone truly imagine that he solicited the assassination of a federal judge? I suppose anything's possible. I'm not in the young man's head, but he doesn't. I happen to have an opportunity to meet him in the late 90s down in Florida. He never struck me as the kind of man who's going to rob a liquor store then fall asleep in the getaway car like a common Negro, you know? So my point is we will not be treated fairly by this federal government in any way, shape, or form. This is the empire. We're at cross purposes with the empire. And to see a targeted decapitation take place halfway around the world, I don't think we should ever dismiss out of hand the idea that this will happen here and happen to us, happen to our leaders. So when something like this takes place, now listen, I want to be clear. This fellow, Soleimani, I believe. I think that's close enough to getting it correctly. I'm losing no sleep over the fact that he's on the wrong side of the grass now, and his deputy as well. He was probably a stabilizing force in that region, quite frankly, not necessarily stabilized in the way that we might prefer, but still a stabilizing force. And we know who drives instability in that region and can't even abide for a moment the idea that there's a serious military power in the region, and that's UN Israel. I won't call them Israel. We are Israel. They're UN Israel, Balfour Declaration Israel, not biblical Israel. But they are a destabilizing force there. They can't abide the fact that the Iranians are really, really, regionally at least, a very powerful military force. Trump, who I know a lot of white nationalists think he's just the guy, well, he's not our guy. He's in the pocket of the Jews completely and totally. He recently made a comment that he's going to root out anti-Semitism wherever it's found. Well, Eddie, you know where I'm at on this. Yeah, anti-Semitism is a disease. You catch it from Jews, okay? 109 times in their history, they've been evicted from host societies. Now, if I go to a party 109 Saturday nights in a row and get kicked out of 109 different parties, I've really got to start facing the fact that I'm probably the problem, you know?
That's true.
This is a group of people who Trump does their bidding, that's fair to say, and he did a targeted decapitation of a legitimate foreign military force. He did an attack at a civilian airport. You mentioned something to me when we spoke earlier today. How far of a reach is it for something like this to happen at the Memphis airport, the Atlanta airport, what have you? You know, so no, I'm not out there rah-rah the empire. Hey, I'm glad we killed Soleimani. I don't necessarily care about him individually, but this is a precedent that's long since established, and the idea that we will never see this happen to us is fanciful. We absolutely can see this happen to us. A man who I'm acquainted with, Matthew Bracken, he's written a series of books. I think they call it the Enemies Foreign and Domestic Trilogy. There's three books in the series, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, Domestic Enemies, and Foreign Enemies and Traitors. They're really fantastic volumes. And in the last book, drone attacks and micro ordnance to kill the leaders of legitimate resistance forces. Now, this is fiction. It's a fiction book. I want to be clear. But a lot of these dystopian fictional accounts, they don't relate points that are far-fetched. So my point to this is, yes, we struck a man at a civilian airport, killed him and his deputy. I assume it was a drone strike. I haven't read otherwise. Our military does love their unmanned drones. But it's not a good development. And as far as what this will do in the region and what this is going to set off as far as chaos around the world at our people, vigilance is the key. I don't have any interest in being in large population centers. I've thought through long since the different ways we can be hurt, and I think we've kicked a hornet's nest by having this man assassinated. This is my opinion. It may not be popular, but this is my opinion, sir.
I think you're right, and we're going to get right back to that after this break. Ike, I don't know if you hear the music. Maybe you can, but we've got the music coming, and we've got to go to another break. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Thousands of mourners chanting, "America is the great Satan," marched in a funeral procession through Baghdad for Iran's top general and Iraqi militant leaders who were killed in a U.S. airstrike. General Qasem Soleimani, the head of Iran's elite Quds force and the mastermind of its regional security strategy, and someone who was involved in killing over 3,000 American troops, was killed in the airstrike near the Iraqi capital. The attack has caused regional tensions to soar. Iran has vowed harsh retaliation, raising fears of an all-out war with the United States. President Donald Trump says he ordered the strike to prevent a conflict. His administration says Soleimani was plotting a series of additional attacks that endangered American troops. Washington has dispatched another 3,000 troops to neighboring Kuwait. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A Massachusetts man accused of killing a 13-year-old girl and injuring two other people will continue to be held without bail. Gregory Goodsell has pleaded not guilty to numerous counts, including operating under the influence and a count of manslaughter. A judge in Plymouth District Court ruled that Goodsell was a danger to the public. Prosecutors in court said Goodsell's driving record included more than 35 violations. He did acknowledge at the scene of the crash that he had drank way too much and used cocaine at a holiday party thrown by his boss. This is USA Radio News. Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson has laid off her entire campaign staff but Williamson is not expected to completely exit the race, at least not yet. Williamson issued a statement confirming she will stay campaigning, but also stating that she cannot afford a traditional campaign. Don't forget, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
With Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Well, people, we're right back. I really appreciate you tuning in tonight. In case I forgot to tell y'all earlier, our audience means everything to us. Without the audience, there would be no reason for us to be here. We're here to fight global white genocide. That's our flagship issue here in Blood River Radio. Everything we talk about, and you may not be able to realize it immediately, but every single thing we talk about on Blood River Radio can be linked directly or indirectly to global white genocide. So anyway, with that spoken, I'm going to ask a question or two with Ike. Ike, the way I look at it, I may look at it different from some other people, but I won't even tell people just how much disdain, how much hatred I have for that so-called flag and that so-called place, what I call Sodom on the Potomac. I consider us here in the South, here in Memphis, Tennessee, that used to be in the part of the Confederacy. I think I'm in occupied territory. I'm being occupied by a terrorist, a thugocracy. The government out of the so-called United States Capitol, Washington, D.C., I consider them an illegitimate government. They don't represent me. They don't represent you. They don't represent any white male in this country, especially Christians. And what they did, you made some great points. What they did, in my opinion, over there when they killed that Iranian general, and by the way, I consider the Iranians, have no love for them, but I consider them light years ahead of anything we have here in Washington, D.C. The Democrats and the Republicans, I think, are just a bunch of scum. They're a lot of just pedophiles, drug dealing maggots. You know, they have no honor. They have no, they don't have any inkling of what it means to be an honorable American. Well, that said, I think what they did over there was just sheer. I think Trump and all of his cohorts. I think what they did by killing that Iranian general, I think it was just an act of terrorism. I think it was a terrorist murder. We're gonna go to Lee just a second, but Lee has something he wants to say. But I mean, what they did, they went over there and they killed a man. I've heard some people say that he'd be the equivalent to the Secretary of State here in the United States of America. As far as I know, he hasn't done one damn thing to hurt any of us. As a matter of fact, they hate him because they can said he was responsible for the death of hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans. Well, that's a damn lie. You know, he was leading al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, and everybody and his mama in our movement knows. I know Ike knows that al-Qaeda and al-Nusra they were creations of Israel and the United States. And I'm telling what they do, they said all they have to do, I can't name the legislation, Ike, but all they gotta do is say that a man is a terrorist, Iran's military is a terrorist, nation XYZ's, their nation, their militaries are a terrorist. Also, since that gives them legality, they can go and kill someone like that in broad daylight, even if it's in a crowded international airport. In the Baghdad International Airport, they send in damn nukes and killing people right there and could kill other civilians that may have, as far as we know.
They probably
so
did.
If they can say, yeah, and you know what? If they can say he's a terrorist and say, okay, we can lawfully kill this guy because he's a terrorist, you know, they can name Ike a terrorist. They can name me as a terrorist, and they're probably going to before too much longer. They can kill anybody. All they have to do is say you're a friggin' terrorist. What do you have to say, Lee?
I just say, Ike, okay. Do you think this is a false flag?
There are these terms that the empire uses that are very loaded terms, and it triggers certain actions. The term you're talking about, declaring someone a terrorist or a terrorist organization, is one. Another, in this country specifically, and it's something we need to be very aware of, is the word insurrectionist. I have some Tier 1 special operators in my family, Navy SEAL, all right? And I'm not talking about a guy who bought a hat and a pin at a flea market. This is a guy who was 16 years with the SEAL teams. And I had an opportunity to speak with him a few years ago, sitting around having a few. And he's only marginally aware of the things that I believe, because in some cases it's just best kept to myself. But we did discuss it to a degree, and here's what he told me. The day the government declares us insurrectionists is the day that we'll meet him and his teammates. and we consider ourselves to be capable and competent individuals, but these are Tier 1 special operators. They do nothing but prepare for raids and breaches and targeted assassinations and decapitations. They call it high-value targets. So these are precedents that are already set, and that conversation I had with that Navy SEAL several years ago has stayed with me. Now, what you said about the flag, I think you were about to ask me about that a moment ago. I have one American flag in this household, and that's it. It's the one in a triangular case. It was folded on my older brother's coffin back in 1969, and I didn't have the heart to dispose of that one. But it stays in the oak case where it was placed literally 50 years ago. That flag never flies here. What flies on my pole right now is a battle flag and a Kentucky flag. I interchange that out with a Black League cross, but the federal rag never flies on this ridge and never will. So you and I we're of like mind about that, Eddie. I didn't drag them behind my truck and treat them like Antifa would. But what I did do when I decided enough was enough is I put them in my barbecue grill and put about a cup of gasoline on them and pitched a match in. I got rid of them in a funeral pyre because I'm a Southerner, I'm a Kentuckian. I don't feel any kinship toward, you know, America, raw, you know, Merca. It doesn't represent us, doesn't speak for us, doesn't advocate for us. Let's be honest, we lost it. We can look back and say where we lost it. We lost it probably in 1913 when we lost control of our currency, gave up control of our currency. Coincidentally, 1913 was when the income tax was instituted permanently. Now the federal government has all this money to do so much good with, and if they had just a little more money, they could do a little bit more good. Prior to 1913, the income tax only existed during the war between the states. When the federal government instituted an income tax, it was rescinded after that war. So yes, we are occupied, and we were literally militarily occupied for 11 years after the Civil War. One of the speeches I gave last summer down in Florida for the Florida League Conference was about that military occupation and the fact that it was constitutionally permitted and authorized. So, you know, I know I'm bouncing around just a little bit here, but, you know, I have no more affinity or kinship toward the federal government, the empire, as we call it, than you do or a lot of us do. We see it for what it is. It's a foreign occupier.
It most certainly is. You know, I'm a little older than you, Ike, maybe quite a bit older. I remember when that flag was carried into Little Rock, Arkansas at Bayonet Point and forced in bayonets pointed toward children, high school children, to integrate Little Rock Central. Mm-hmm. And I happen to know that that's one of the places that the League of the South has occupied in the past. I was talking to Dr. Hill about that. She might have even been there.
Just about a year ago.
I witnessed that. I saw that. 1957, they went in there. Mm-hmm. These big, brave Army National Guard guys mm-hmm. went in there, bayonets, mounted bayonets, you know, to high school children. Mm-hmm. I saw the same thing happen in pretty much in Oxford, Mississippi. So white citizens were killed in Oxford, right. Mississippi by federal troops. You know, the same thing happened in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, University of Alabama. The same thing has happened in Waco, in Ruby Ridge. And you mentioned, you know, how we may be considered insurrectionists someday. That's all they have to do. You know, sure. the federal flag, they carry their stinking federal flag into these foreign countries, and they go in there and they bomb and loot and drop white phosphorus and napalm. If you've ever seen white phosphorus and napalm, I can tell you don't want to see it.
They go
in there and they just kill and rape and plunder. And if the people in these other countries, if they submit so much as raise a finger, then they're considered insurrectionists. And the United States Air Force can go in and finish bombing the hell out of what's left of the country. You know, and that's what's going to be happening to us.
Now, we have to take control of our destiny. We have to institute our own system of government crafted by us for the benefit of our people and the well-being of our people. And the way I see that, it needs to be a highly militant, exclusionary, technocratic meritocracy built around the ideals of radical traditionalism, based on the preservation of our kind and our culture to the detriment of all the others. A new system, a new way of governing, a new way of harnessing the power of our people that places the well-being of our people first. Something more noble than the petty mercantile aspirations of Semites. That's the destiny we need to work toward. Now,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you have anything to add to that, Lee?
No, I don't know.
Okay, I didn't. I got the wrong signal, I guess. You know, I think we could maybe talk about solutions, but, you know, you were talking about the Navy SEAL and what they were going to do to us, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I would challenge these people to wake up and look at their skin and see if they're white, to look and see if they're really white Anglo-Saxon, Christian Americans, whatever, Southerners. Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to stand up for their brethren? Are they going to stand up for their, or actually kill their mamas and papas and their grandparents and their brothers and sisters and other people just because they don't want to bow down to the Zionist occupation? They don't want to bow down to the criminals of Sodom and the Potomac people, the pedophiles, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein buddies that go around raping little girls. Are they going to join them, or are they going to join us? Well, I can hear the music again. When we come back, we'll talk about solutions, and I think there may be one solution going on that we talked about up here in Richmond, Virginia, pretty soon, which is close to your neck of the woods.
Yes.
Anyway, people, will be right back after this break. I hear the music. We'll come back to the final break in just a few minutes. Hold on to your hats.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
People, we're right back. In case I forget to mention it earlier, it is January the 4th. This is the first show that Blood River, it's our first show of the new year, 2020. And I think we've got a pretty hot one tonight. And we're just really glad to be here. We're really, really thankful and appreciative of our audience. We hope we're doing a service to you. and for each and every one, we try to keep it. We try to keep it a Christian show. We may get out of hand sometimes, but we try our best to be, you know, to be Christian about it and be white people. We like white people should. But going back, Ike, I think we talked about what I'm getting ready to talk about a little bit on a previous show. I might have been talking with my other Marine buddy, Gene Andrews. I'm not sure. Maybe it was him. But, you know, as you well know, in 1860, prior to the American Civil War, you know, the American military was split. Robert E. Lee, for instance, he was offered the command of the Union Army. Many of, you know, the officer corps was split. Some went to the South, some went to the North. It was brother against brother, dad against son, son against, you know, mother against daughter. Are we coming to that? Are we coming to that point where we have these military officers? You mentioned this Navy SEAL. There's going to be, I venture to say, a lot of whites.
Well,
they're going to say, I'm not going to follow these orders. I'm not going to go disarm my brother down the road. What about that, Ike?
I'm going to do my best to answer that. I wrote an article back in the late 80s for the Marine Corps Gazette. I wrote it under a pseudonym, which is actually fairly common. The Marine Corps Gazette, it's a professional publication. And the title of the article was, When Do We Shoot the Colonels? Because the idea of refusing illegal orders is only given the barest of lip service in any kind of military training that I ever went through. And I wasn't a special operator, but I've been through a fair number of training evolutions, training programs. What really comes down to is this. It's going to come down to what the captains and majors do, okay? And for the Navy, that would be lieutenants and lieutenant commanders. They haven't become politicized yet. This possibly may go as high as lieutenant colonels and Navy commanders, but once a man has put eagles on his collar, whether he's a Navy captain or a Marine Corps, Army, Air Force colonel, he's gonna send any order that comes from his superiors right up the pipeline. Now, what's going to depend is what the colonels, what the majors and the captains do, because these are the actual troop leaders on the ground, all right? And if they recognize an illegal order and decline to issue it to their troops or actually act in contravention of that illegal order, okay, we've got a chance for what you're talking about to actually come about. I don't have my finger on the pulse of the NCO Corps and the officer corps any longer. It's been a long time since I wore that uniform. There would have been a time, I believe, when the captains and majors would have probably done what I suggested in that article. When is it time to shoot the colonels? I can't answer that. I really can't. I mean, we feel like we can almost emotionally answer it. Will our own people wearing the uniform of the empire actually accept and execute orders to attack us? That's the million-dollar question, Eddie. I don't know the answer to that. If they declare us insurrectionists, then they've got a kind of a salve on their conscience. They can do whatever their conscience tells them to do and not necessarily feel that they're following an illegal order, because, you know, that oath is all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if we're declared insurrectionists, then we're domestic enemies. Listen, this fellow, he told me point blank, if we're declared insurrectionists, they're going to come at us. Okay. So it's not the answer I want. It's not the answer I want to give. Certainly it's not the answer you and the listeners want to hear, but I wish I had more confidence in their actions than I do. This is not 1858, 1860, 1861 anymore. Regionalism and the parochialism that comes with regionalism doesn't really exist so much. I mean, I think we as Southerners have the last bit of that, and we don't have it like we used to. Some of us do, I suppose, but as a people, we don't. Racial identity? Well, we might have that going for us. I've read statistics that up to 93% of the combat arms MOSs in the Navy, in the Marine Corps and the Army, and the special operators are even far more than 93%. But that 93% across the combat arms is white men. And we know from experience, and I know We know anecdotally, and I know from experience, that a large portion of those white men are Southern white men.
Yes.
You know, since the days of Daniel Boone and George Washington, you know, Southern rednecks have flocked to the banner. It's just the nature of the thing. They followed Boone. They died at the Alamo. They fill the graveyards of the CSA from the War Between the States. Look at York, Alvin York, Tennessean. Right. So the fact is, our people are hugely overrepresented there. What kind of loyalty will they have to their own? I think it's a wild card. What do you think?
I'm not as optimistic as I would have been 20, 30 years ago. You've hit a lot of good points there. I speak to a lot of young men that are going into the military, the Army and the Marines, and they'll tell you they want to go serve their country. They want to go kill terrorists. And every single one of them, I'll ask them, I'll say, well, if you were to give an order, if your commanding officer was to tell you to go into your neighborhood and disarm the people, disarm your own relatives, would you do it? And you'd be surprised if you learned how many of them say, well, yes, if my company commander told me to go in there and disarm, my people, I would have to do it. It's an order. And it's really frightening to do that, to listen to that. I'm sure you're aware of
it. What the captains and the majors do, because the captains are the company commanders, the majors are the regimental commanders. All right. Orders that come from above the regimental level are basically going to originate with a flag officer, which is a general. Your battalion officer would be a major. Your regimental commander is going to be a colonel. So you hit the nail on the head with what you just said. His company commander, what his company commander tells him, and his company commander is going to be a captain in almost every single case. All right. So an officer that's not become very high ranking yet could be the one that saves the day, or could be the one that buries us.
That's what's going to come down to. I'm hoping at best. I'm hoping that we can at least have close to half the guys on our side.
Yeah.
Listen. I guess we kind of shift right now. I like talking about solutions. We want to talk about what's going on up there in your neck of the woods in Richmond, Virginia. The January the 20th, there's going to be a big rally there. Amongst others, there's probably going to be other people there, but I know that the organization called the Virginia Citizens Defense League is going to go there.
Right.
And they're saying that I think about 90% of the counties in the state of Virginia have said that they're going to resist the governor. They're going to resist his threat to disarm them. What about, have you heard about that, Ike?
Yes, I absolutely have. Now, I don't know this. I don't know the exact percentage, but an overwhelming number of Virginia counties have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. And I find this very interesting, because think of all the leftist cities that declare themselves illegal alien sanctuaries. Okay, what's really the difference? We're right in declaring a Second Amendment sanctuary, and they're wrong in declaring an illegal alien sanctuary. But as far as a legal mechanism, what's the difference? Right now, as far as this big rally in Richmond, I need to tell you, I'm a little bit leery of it, and I'm going to tell you why this is.
Absolutely.
Virginia.
Sam just tuned in. He was saying the same thing. It's the same thing I was thinking. One embraces the Constitution, which the one in Virginia, the rally in Richmond, Virginia, they're standing up for the Constitution of the United States. The others, like the Pelosi's of the world, they're having these safe havens for illegal aliens. They're non-constitutional. They're the lawbreakers.
Sure.
I didn't mean
to
interrupt you there, but Sam.
No, you're right. They're not morally the same, but what I'm really getting at is procedurally they're the same. They choose to disregard certain laws and statutes for their purposes, and they're wrong in doing it. They have no constitutional basis to do it. However, they're suspending enforcement of certain laws. Well, the Second Amendment sanctuaries with the moral high ground are doing the same thing. They're suspending enforcement of these pending firearms laws. Now, as far as this big rally in Virginia, I'd like to share this. This is Virginia, with a far left governor, in a municipality that may possibly be not as far left as Charlottesville, but we should make no mistake, Richmond, Virginia, is Democrat controlled. I'm hoping,
is that going to be the next Charlottesville, Ike?
Well,
we got about a minute left, Ike. Is that going to be the next Charlottesville?
But with everybody's an armed militia there. Here's my concern. My concern is any kind of agent provocateur in the crowd. How about this? A a man who nobody's seen before, a man who nobody knows, shows up in camouflage and let's play devil's advocate. He opens up with his AR on some Antifa protesters, and then he melts into the crowd and disappears. Nobody sees him get into that vehicle belonging to the three-letter agency, and if they do, they don't report it anyway. There's a lot of risk to this, and I'm not sure I see how much benefit there is to this rally.
Well, I really appreciate your summation on that. I think you hit on all cylinders. I appreciate you coming on the show so much tonight. We're looking forward to you being on again very soon.
Let me get something out right quick. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. LeagueOfTheSouth.com.
Tune in, okay. People. If you heard that, like I said, tune in to LeagueOfTheSouth.com. You get any information you want to join the league, to help the league, send donations to the league, etc. God bless you, people. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be here next Saturday again. We have some exciting guests on hand. And we'll see you then, God willing. Thank you so much. Good night, Sam. Good night, Bethany. Good night, Lee. Good night, Ike. And thank you, people, for tuning in. God bless you.